You're listening to America's great community radio station from Westchester, the Golden Apple. This is WVOX Worldwide, AM 1460 and WVOX.com.
1460 WVOX.
Picture yourself when you're getting on.
Everybody, this is the Steve Mayo Luke Lucion show here on WVOX 1460 AM, your community, local, and yes, to international broadcast outlet right here in New Rochelle, New York, Westchester County, New York State. And we're glad to be with you. The call in number 914-636-0110. My co-host and partner, Luke Lucion, not here tonight. I alone and you, Steve Mayo. And if you get a chance, go to my website, thestevemayoshow.com website, where I have most of our past episodes over the past couple of years on the Lou and Steve show, and also some of my past writings, soon to be updated. It is to be hoped. And of course, again, the call number 914-636-0110. I know we have a caller. But before I get to the call, I just want to make one point, which I think will be of particular interest to this first caller. You've heard all the postmortems about the election, the red wave that quarter happened, half happened, kind of happened, didn't happen. I'm not sure. It didn't feel like a wave. Certainly in the Northeast, you're not going to feel any sort of conservative wave anytime soon. Very important steps. Five or so congressional seats flipped from Democrat to Republican here in New York, notably on Long Island, where it was kind of expected, but also in Westchester County, the Hudson Valley, even Queens saw a change, and that to conservatives is good. But generally, the Northeast, not favorable. Nationwide, I think important steps were made, winning the House and holding it quite barely. But I did want to focus on one race of no apparent knowledge or common interest in the WVOX Metropolitan New Rochelle listening audience. It concerns a person who I know and have known for a few years, Kimberly Fiorello, former resident of Westchester County, fairly recently moved to southwestern Connecticut and part of the Connecticut House of Representatives. I believe it was District 149. I just want to give a call out to her because I know her, knew her some, not so much recently. She was, to me, surprisingly elected to the Connecticut House fairly soon after moving from New York to Connecticut. And I was really overjoyed when I heard about it a couple of years back because she was known to us in the area. You might say the area conservative Republican, even conservative Democrat communities, as a very intellectual, bright, attractive woman. And very smart and sharp and even progressive in the thoroughly neutral sense of looking forward, thinking forward, and thinking, of course, of the best of her community. She was not reelected, unfortunately, I was surprised to learn. And just a call out to Kimberly, if you're listening or if any listeners who supported her or know her are listening, please call in with your impressions on this vote. I didn't think it would even be a question. But to me, rather surprising, a very smart, articulate, had a very impressive website and an email update campaign that reached me, and I'm sure many of our supporters. But for even a closer view, let's turn to our friend Bruce. Bruce, are you there?
Here I am. How are you doing, Steve?
Overall pretty well. I think we did okay in the elections. One shouldn't complain around here, but I was rather disappointed for Ms. Fiorello's plight. Were you?
Well, I understand that, but I'd like to say you're overlooking the campaign for the election miracle.
Hit me over the head.
Okay, here it is. The Republicans are actually talking about doing something. Usually when they get elected, we got a new health care plan, and then you find out they don't have a health care plan.
Right.
They made it up. But this time, they're actually looking at Joe Biden and what he has done in the world of corruption. And
sure.
I find that to be an absolute miracle that they're going to do anything.
Well, let's say Joe Biden is blazing new trails in the corrupt politics world, for sure.
Well, I think it's a 250-year record for corruption, I guarantee you that. But here's the thing that's so interesting, is that there are two SARs, suspicious activity reports from the banking industry. And when they were talking to Jim Jeffries and the other guys, they said, well, how do you know you're going to convict him on it? And he said, oh, this is an SAR. This is a crime. They're reporting a crime.
Yes.
And I guess he was paying off an escort service that was involved in sex trafficking.
Oh,
so
goodness.
We've got the little twist to it. That's going to be lots of fun listening to that.
Well,
but there are
that's tabloid bait for sure.
Oh, yeah. But do we still have tabloids? I'm not sure.
I'm not talking about the National Enquirer. I'm talking about the New York Daily News and the New York Post.
Oh, okay. Well, we got those.
And the Chicago Sun-Times. Go ahead.
But here's my question. Biden has changed the rules so they can get about 140 suspicious activity reports, which used to be easy to get under Biden, Trump, and not Biden, but Obama, Trump, and everybody else. Now you can't get them. But here's what I'm
Now, be specific, Bruce. This is new terminology to me. From what agency or department is this emanating from?
I believe both the banking industry.
Okay.
And the banking industry, when they say funny movements of money, they report them. But when they see them, they're reporting what they see as a crime. So, you know, hey, we got a crime. We'd like to tell you about it. It's an interesting report.
Well,
so,
I'll look to learn more about it. Is it being reported widely, Bruce?
You know, I don't know, but I do know this. There's 148, and he's made it so that you have to subpoena them, and he's not giving them up. But what happens since the banks have them? Why don't the Republicans just ask the banks and say, hey, you've got these reports? Well, we'd like you as good citizens to mail them over.
Yes, for sure. And also,
as far as I can tell, they could.
And let's face it, even if you want to de-intensify or detoxify the report, invite someone in the industry to do one of those famous Washingtonian leaks, which we've seen with such frequency during the Trump administration.
Sure. But, you know, it seems to me if the bank generated them, they've got them, right? And they send them to the government, and the government won't release them. Well, who's to say it's not public information anyway?
Of course.
I mean, why can't the bank just turn it over? That would be 148 more crimes.
Of course. Crimes. Well, let's face it, Bruce. Now you're going to see the partisan measure of the media. Because let's face it, when the victim, or you might say the target, was a Republican like Trump and company, there was no lack of data. Raw, valid or invalid, a lot of supposition. Remember how many of those false indictments were reported over CNN? I used to get every other day reports from one of my very, very fatuous and impressionable friends in Connecticut. Not you, of course. Whatever happened to those? Well, let's see what is the rule in Washington nowadays, now that the shoe's on the other foot.
Well, one other thing I got to tell you, I found out a use for my copy of the New York Times that somebody gave me, and I put it on the bottom of the kitty litter box.
Yes.
And the kitty won't go there anymore.
Oh my Lord!
But guess what? There's an upside. I don't have to take the dog for a walk. Once he saw it, he doesn't have to go outside anymore.
Good work, Bruce. Always great to hear from our Connecticut correspondent. Thank you for calling. Very interesting spin. This is the Lou Felicione, Steve Mayo show here on WVOX 1460 AM. I think the word I was looking to describe my friend, credible. I'll think of it. Maybe you'll think of it. 914-636-0110. WVOX, Mondays at 5:30. Me and Lou and you right after this.
easy for you to get on the air and talk to your neighbors.
Can someone talk to me?
And the world.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
The podium is yours.
Impressive.
AM 1460 and worldwide at WVOX.com.
1460 WVOX. Help me now, I'm calling you. Catch me now, I'm falling. I need your hands, it's up to you. Catch me now, I'm falling.
I remember when you were down.
I'm Steve. On the phone is Lou. Lou, welcome. How you doing?
Hey, Steve. How are you?
Great, great. I look forward to you coming back next week.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I got COVID, so I went to did that test at CVS. You buy at CVS,
yes,
on Friday, and it tested positive. Then I went to WestMed, and I went to get tested there, and they tested me positive. So I got me on this Paxlovid, it's called, or whatever,
yes,
like that. It's a series of pills you got to take for 4 days or 5 days. So
good.
I feel good, you know, and no fever, nothing like that.
Let's hope we knock it out of you, and if necessary, call on Captain America, will you please?
Yeah. but listen, Steve, I got to tell you, we always say all the time on our show, me and you, that all politics start local. Well, we got something very local here. Our mayor of New Rochelle is not running anymore.
So I've heard. Yep.
That leaves a big spot open in the city of New Rochelle. You know, the bookie would say hands-on favorites right now. Miss Ramos is that she's the hands-on favorite.
Yes.
Going to get the nomination from the Democratic
Council
Party.
Council member, correct?
Yeah, council member. Then there's rumors, there's stuff now that O'Toole looking to run again, and there's rumors about that. So it's a wide open field, and right now we got the little fish in the big pond here out of office. You know, he was very hard to beat in the city of New Rochelle.
Certainly,
Mr. Bramson, he had this city locked up.
Sure.
I see it, and he had this city locked up for all these years. But I think it's a time now that people need to put their heads together, start having debates, and start putting people up there in both parties, not just one, both parties, and see if and find the right person for this job.
Lou, I'm glad you mentioned debates. Wouldn't that be a breath of fresh air? Because let's face it, this is not a two-party town. It's not even a one-and-a-half-party town.
It's a one-party town. Everybody,
sure,
knows that.
You and I have gone on and on about the weakness of the local party. They're not worth mentioning. The county party, only marginally better. Let's face it, Lou, the state party chairman actually held the chairmanship in this past election while he was running for Congress. That's how distracted and, I would say, very much self-centered many of the leaders are. And I hope we can find our way to having a real contest in the city. As you point out, Republican, Democrat, I don't care if he or she is a registered Republican or just, you know, ideologically conservative. We need a real battle between one side and the other.
I want to hear what people have to say, where the next round of this, where this city is going, with the infrastructure of these buildings that are building up, the growth population in this city. We have to look at this city as a big thing right now.
Absolutely.
Because it's not this little suburban community that you people want to make it out to be. It's not like that anymore. There's no more Arnold Constables, there's no more department stores here. The Jack's Army and Navy, Farmberries, to buy the jeans or whatever.
Oh, man, you're predating me.
Yeah, well, there's none of these stores no more. It's apartment buildings on top of apartment buildings.
Of course. Lou, and as you point out, we used to be a unique, I'm tempted to say, boutique suburb. The rhyme is
exactly
too compelling. But
exactly,
we were an interesting suburb. We were a very small city statewide and nationwide, but we had great schools, beautiful neighborhoods, good multifamily housing, navigable streets. It's a changed world now, Lou. We're about sixth or seventh in the state in terms of size. That's pretty sizable. And when all this construction is done, we could be fifth or sixth for all I know.
I totally agree, Steve. And you know, you got to look at the Frost Shop and all these, you know, people say, you know, there's no stores here. You know, that has a lot to do with the economy. It also has a lot to do with Amazon, because the people in this day. No, I'm serious.
Yeah, Lou, I'm frustrated and I'm in agreement.
Go on a computer during lunch break or during timeout or whatever and look at what's on the computer, have Amazon ship it right to your house. You don't have to leave your house or whatever. So it's, you know, to get those mom and pop stores, you're not going to see anymore. I can tell you that right now.
Well,
but,
Lou, let's accept for a second that what you're saying about now is true. I call it the Peg King, Long Beach, California Express. And I hear kids of our kids' generation and younger saying, oh, I don't have to go out and shop. I'm just going to go online. Well, that's an expressway to joblessness, bad jobs, union-free employment in the private industry, and to me, an unfavorable balance of trade with China. And you're identifying the real problem. And New Rochelle, unfortunately, which once was a retail center of sorts, now has virtually no retail. I just hope maybe we can reverse it. I don't know.
I hope so, too. And I think these are the things that we have to find out from any of these new candidates that want to run for mayor. And when I'm saying debates,
that's a very
good point. We have the armory, to me, which is a big issue in the city of New Rochelle, the property down there.
Yeah.
That should be, if you want to put housing up, that should be number one for retired vets or veteran families that are, people are still in the service.
Lou, how about a mixed development? How about
a mixed development is good.
Housing for public servants, veterans of all stripes and types, and also throw in some really interesting retail and some performance space, which I know Dennis Starr and the American Legion and Assemblyman Tochi and I and you too, Lou, and friends of ours have been supporting for years against a very difficult city council. Maybe we get some action on it, certainly debate it.
Well, you know what I said years ago, this was like 15, 20 years ago, I suggested that to try to get, like what the armory was, a minor league baseball team. And here's what I used to say, because if $2 for every ticket goes into a kitty that's run by the veterans, not the city administration, run by the veterans, that goes for housing, health care, and medical insurance for veterans or prescription insurance for veterans.
Absolutely.
That would have been the best way to celebrate our veterans, giving them something, doing something for them or whatever. The building is beautiful, don't get me wrong.
It sure is.
But we should do something more for our veterans. It's not fair that people risk their lives, and a lot of people have a lot of problems, mental problems after the service, with war or whatever, to help for these people that served in the service.
Of course. These
are the things that should be talked about in this election. It should be talked about in this upcoming time about the taxes and about the sewers fees. That the sewers now, they just put a big, tremendous treatment plant down there by the armory, and which is overflowed now.
Of course.
Which is too small now, that with all these buildings and everything. We should also talk about urban sprawling, you know.
That was predicted. Lou, the overflow, overwhelming, you described, was predicted well before all this construction started. All the politicians knew about it. The mayor knew about it. I got to believe the city manager knew about it. I remember getting some warnings from them properly. But what was done about it? Instead, in the past election, we get hit on the head with a multi-billion dollar infrastructure bill. All generally a good idea. But why discuss it on election day? Why not have an ongoing discussion throughout the year? Town hall meetings, debates.
I agree. You know, and the neighbors, right, our next-door neighbors, you look at what the Mamaroneck does and Larchmont does when a heavy rain, the floods that they have. This all has to do with urban sprawling. That's what this has to do with.
Yep.
You know, you could put all the money you want with the Army Corps of Engineering. You know, they overbuilt this area. So when you have the backlash with heavy rains and sewer systems that were built in the turn of the century, they never put nothing in for the infrastructure. These things don't add up. And these are things that have to be looked at. Not
well, of course,
swept under the rug.
Look, just take a pause. What you're talking about is very pertinent, because we know all the construction, apartment construction, mainly rental, some ownership co-op or condo, at least I've read 10 to 15,000 units. maybe more. What's the net result going to be of that, of eliminating some open land, even vacant lots, grass-strewn lots, which nobody likes to look at, but they perform some function. They absorb rain and storm runoff.
Steve, that's totally all gone. And when what you said about 1,500 these apartments they're talking about downtown, I would like to see another thing. So try to push a market that's a co-op market or a condo market, because to me, people take it doesn't become. Otherwise, you're going to wind up like Florida was. Florida was a very transient state. Yes. Now people are starting to move there because they see that with the governor, they feel
good
secure with this governor. And they feel the secure with the he did through COVID and everything.
Yep.
So people, it's not a transit state no more.
Lou, you've given me a raft of issues. We're coming up to a break. We'll have to revisit them when you're back.
Great job.
Thank you, Lou. Hope you feel great in less than 4 days. This is the Lou and Steve Show. That's Steve Mayo, Lou Feliciano on WVOX 1460 AM. Go to our website, thestevemayoshow.com. Lou's an equal participant. You can too. The Steve and Lou Show will be